Hello and welcome to the Wavebreak Podcast. If you're new here, I'm your host Dylan Kelly, and every Monday I interview the people behind the top Shopify stores to figure out what they're doing to take their stores to the next level and how you can do the same. This episode is brought to you by my consultancy, Wavebreak. We help Shopify stores maximize their email marketing revenue. Is your email marketing stuck? Do you feel like you could be doing it better? I put together a free 31-point email revenue checklist that lays out exactly what you need to do to take your email marketing to the next level. Get the free checklist at emailrevenuechecklist.com. That's emailrevenuechecklist.com. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Wavebreak Podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Kelly, and today joining me is Dana Donofrio, founder and designer of Anna Ono. Thanks for coming on the show, Dana.
No, thanks for having me. This is awesome. I'm happy to be here.
To get started, can you just tell the listeners a little bit about Anna Ono and what you guys do over there?
Yeah, so we have a lingerie line, Anna Ono, and we provide intimates and loungewear for women that are affected by breast cancer or living with chronic pain.
You have this really awesome story behind the company. I mean, it's not awesome, but it's like a real reason why you started the company. And unlike people who kind of just, I mean, not to say that it's wrong to just find a product and start selling it, but you have a really special connection to your brand and what you're doing. Can you take me back and tell me a bit like why you started the company and how you came about doing that?
Yeah, no, I mean, you're right. It's not awesome, but you know, it's life. And I got handed a pile of lemons, and instead of making lemonade, I made a margarita. But you know, we all face, you know, trials and tribulations in our life. And I got diagnosed with breast cancer a day before my 28th birthday. And in doing so, just realized that as a young woman and as a young professional woman, that I sort of got catapulted into this world that was built for my grandmother. And that was really devastating amongst sort of all of the other things that you're going through in life, like figuring out, you know, your chemotherapy and your breast surgery, and are you going to live or are you going to die? And amongst all of that, you know, you feel like you are walking amongst a world that you don't belong in. And that was really sort of what drove me to find solutions that didn't look like a grandma bra, but still was beautiful and made me feel good about myself, and made me sort of embrace my new body that I had moving, you know, forward in my life.
Did you have a background in lingerie and fashion, or is this something completely new that you had to learn?
So oddly, I'd been a fashion designer my entire life. I had a really incredible career. I'd been working in the industry for, you know, almost 10 years, and I felt like this cosmic boom just kind of happened. I woke up one night, probably with a hot flash from my treatments, and I realized that, you know, getting dressed in the morning was dictating every move I made in my entire life, and that I wasn't in control. And I sort of decided that, you know, I have a really amazing career. I've had an awesome run in the fashion industry. I know what I'm doing, and I'm kind of crazy enough to start my own business. So, like, why not take the leap of faith and go for it?
And I really like how you said, like, how dressing sort of affects your whole day. That doesn't really affect me as much, but what I find is, like, however I start my day is how the day goes. So
you're right.
If I hit snooze a bunch of times and I'm just laying in bed when I could be getting out of bed, I find, like, if I procrastinate getting out of bed, I procrastinate my work. I procrastinate while I'm working out. I'm in the shower too long, all these different things.
Yeah. The trickle down effect.
Yeah, it really is. And what's funny is, like, you're solving a much bigger problem than it seems at the surface. Like, oh, I'm selling bras, but it's like, not only are you selling bras, you're selling people better days. And even more than that, like, there's so many different things like that you do that make people's, like, lives better, which is so cool. Fast forwarding to now a little bit, can you somehow share like where the business is at now in terms of, like, I don't know, employees or revenue, or just, like, I don't know, just recent accomplishment or something?
Yeah, I mean, I launched the line in May of 2014. So I can't even barely believe it that we're coming up on a 4-year anniversary. I mean, it feels like, it does not feel like that long. There's been a lot of work.
Time flies.
time does fly, and it's just, you know, owning your own business is really stressful and exhausting, but thrilling and invigorating all at the same time. So it's, you know, you're always riding those ups and downs. But I mean, I started, you know, my first year I did $10,000 in sales, and which is just kind of crazy 4 years ago. And we've been more than quadrupling that, you know, year over year over year. So it's really been some incredible growth and some steady scaling because I bootstrapped my entire business myself. So I didn't have any outside funding. I really only had the money I had in the bank and the money I made in my career. And just at the end of last year, we raised a seed round, which is going to bring in a nice investment to help us scale the business and get into more hospitals and, you know, get into the lives of the women that need us.
Yeah, that's really great. That's awesome that you guys are growing so fast. And now one thing is you have a very unique customer base. So obviously your ideal customer is somebody who has been through breast cancer. How do you find those people? Like how do those people find you?
It's hard. I really thought when I launched in May of 2014 that, you know, I will build it, they will come, you know? And I was like, there's nothing else on the internet. There's no bras for women with reconstructive surgery. Like, I'm going to own every keyword because nobody else is doing this. I'm the first one in the market. And then I quickly realized that that's not at all the case. And that's not how you gain customers. And that's not how you get people to hear about you. So for the first 3 years of my business, I mean, I really just was like a master hustler. I was, you know, talking at every event I would get invited to. I was going out to networking groups. I was speaking at women's groups. I was talking to my doctors. I was going to survivor community meetings, so on and so forth, and really just kind of pounding the pavement because it feels like door-to-door sales, right? But you're selling on the internet. You just have to tell everybody what you do. So over time, that's built a lot of organic traction for us. The word of mouth marketing, it's slow and it's steady, but it's the strongest. That's been really incredible. And now with additional funding, we've really been able to put our foot into the SEO world and the marketing world. And, you know, now we're taking a lot of the tactics that we've learned in the last few years that work with no money, and we're putting a little muscle behind them.
That's awesome. And I really think it's so funny how it works, because you start out and nothing works. You're trying all these things. Like, you just want to give up almost. And that's something, I mean, in the beginning, that's something you feel a lot. Nothing's working. But somehow, something just clicks at some point, and then it's like everything starts to take off at once. I don't know how it works, but I feel like that's always how it seems to go.
Well, I've kind of described it as I feel like I've been building a house. And, you know, at first I was like digging the foundation, and then I was, you know, pouring the mold, and now I've been building the structure, and I just now am starting to put the walls on. You know, it's like every step you do kind of builds upon the next, you know, the previous thing that you've done. And you hope that even though they don't feel like at the time that they're making any traction in your business, they are building momentum, you know, if even slowly. But you're absolutely right. I mean, any entrepreneur that I know that has started their company and they're in their first year, if they tell you things are great, I think they're lying.
Yeah, but it's true. And so now you guys are doubling down sort of on what works best and putting more muscle into it. What is working best for you guys? And what have you found that has been better than other marketing channels?
You know, our the good and the bad thing about having breast cancer is that there is a very strong community hold amongst those that have been affected by the disease. And you sort of get invited to a club that you never wanted to be invited to. But once you're in for life, and you really support and meet, you know, a lot of incredible people throughout that journey. So I think because of my position myself as a breast cancer patient and walking in the shoes of the women's lives that I'm trying to affect, it's been a really awesome community approach to be at conferences that are for women with breast cancer, or get into breast cancer communities and centers, you know, and work social media in the essence that you said it earlier, you know, we're selling people a better day, and everything we put out into the world is supposed to be encouraging and supportive, right? And it very rarely talks about our bras, right? Because that's sort of the tangible piece, but there's so much life that needs to be lived, and we want to be able to support our community in that way as well.
when you look at all the most successful sort of like direct sales people, like the people who send these letters in the mail that did really well, like years ago, they're not focusing on, it's funny, they don't focus on the product, like, hey, buy this product, it's the best, this. Like, no, they focus on the pain, and then they present their product as the solution. And I think that's really a next level way to look at things, is really like, these things are solving problems, even if it's just a water bottle, that's solving a problem somehow. And it might be bigger than what you think, just, oh, putting something to hold your water in. And like, only your customers sort of know what it's actually solving, or hopefully you know the real problem. In your case, you're in an awesome position where you're your target customer, and you have a lot to learn from yourself about what to do. And I'm just rambling. I don't know where I'm going with this, but
no, but you're right, because it's, you know, a lot of it is the experience. And, you know, we want to talk about getting you, you know, as a female affected by breast cancer, like, we want to talk about your love life. We want to talk about your relationships. And if you feel good about yourself, you're going to have a good relationship. You're going to be full of love, and you're going to have a lot of love to give. But if you feel so distraught about the way your body looks, like, we want, you know, we can help you clothe that, but we want to also help you how you feel, you know? And I think that the brawl is the easy part. It's life that is not so easy.
True. And I think that goes for a lot of things too. So you've been around since 2014, and you've raised a seed round recently. Tell me about raising the seed round. Like, why did you do it, and what went into that?
Raising money, I would say there's been a few very incredibly difficult things in my life. Having cancer was one of them. Raising money from financial institutions for your business is a close second. It's not that I should compare it to cancer, but it's tough. Just to put it into perspective, I mean, I started to build my company in 2012. I launched it in 2014. I was completely self-funded up until the end of 2017. Throughout the summer of 17, I became self-sustaining in my business model. But to need that sort of influx of funding, outside funding, what I realized was happening was I was actually losing sales because I couldn't scale fast enough. And once I identified that as the problem, and once I was able to analyze my cash flow, I knew it was time for me to reach out for outside funding. I won't lie, being a female entrepreneur, making products for females, especially females' health, is a very tough sell to a lot of male investors. And so I've learned a lot about myself. I've learned a lot about women's health. I've learned a lot about women in business. And I've learned all of that by raising seed money.
Did you know these investors beforehand, or how did you get in touch with them?
I didn't know anybody beforehand. I just started out, I took every invitation to every pitch competition, every pitch meeting, pitch networking. I was probably pitching my business for an entire year, because I sort of also looked at that as marketing, because I said, what's the worst that's going to happen? I'm in a room full of women, and I get to pitch them my business and their undivided attention. And those women know other women, and I'm sure they know my customers. So
yeah,
I was using it. I was kind of using it as a marketing tool, because I actually started pitching before I needed money. And I guess maybe that took a little bit of the edge off, because I was like, you know, what's the worst case that's going to happen? Somebody's going to want to give me money. Well, maybe somebody doesn't want to give me money. Maybe that's okay. And so it did allow me to learn how to tell my story. But, you know, I just went running around Philadelphia. I found about every investment group that was available that could, you know, that would listen to me. I applied to pitch competitions. I applied to contests. I won first place in the FedEx Small Business Contest a few years ago. So that was really incredible. And it was just, again, leveraging every resource and every networking opportunity to the best of my abilities.
Wow. And so you mentioned that you found your story over doing all this. And that's something that comes up over and over again when you dive into the world of like raising money. It's like, what's your story, and how to find your story? Like, do you have any advice for people who are maybe starting to raise money now and might need a little nudge to improve their story or anything like that?
You know, I it's got to come from the heart, but I will tell you the thing I learned that I probably learned too late was, I'm not sure how much they really care about your story and what you're doing. Investors want to know that they can make their money back. And if you can tell a compelling story of why what you're doing is different from the current marketplace and how your idea is valuable to others for an exit or to get out or to expand, that's what they want to know. They want to know, can they get their money back and at what X they can get their money back. And I was, obviously I'm incredibly passionate about my business, right? I have put a lot of work in my business, and I'm sure every entrepreneur has, right? So there's some things that we're just so diehard about. You know, I'm like, women need to be treated better. Like, we need better lingerie and, you know, women with breast cancer, this is really, really tough. And you need to hear me when I say it. And then they're like, well, how much money am I going to make? I'm like, oh, that's all you want to know? Okay, well, let me tell you how much money you're going to make. So it's, you know, it's a little bit of a hard thing for an entrepreneur, because we're doing what we want to do to make a difference in the world. And when you take in outside funding, that's not necessarily their number one objective. I mean, I do have an investment group that is a social impact, community impact investment group, and that's great. That's an amazing partner for me. You know, and then some of the super angels that came out of other pitch sessions has really been beneficial to, you know, me raising money. But to pitch to a room full of VCs, it's tough.
Yeah, I don't know. That just seems scary to me.
It is scary. You have to totally grow some thick skin, and you have to be absolutely ready for rejection, because I was rejected for a year and a half before I started building any traction.
Why didn't you just give up and throw in the towel? Because getting told no for a year, I feel like for a lot of people, they would just say, okay, that's it. I tried for a year. I'm done. What made you keep going?
Well, I guess I'm a glutton for punishment, which is probably the first piece. You know, I really believe in what I'm doing. And I know what we're doing is changing lives and changing families and changing perspectives. And I believe so much in that I can't stop because I get frustrated or I get sad or I get disappointed. And, you know, maybe because my business has been growing and I was self-sustaining, that the money was more about scale and inventory and operations. It wasn't, I wasn't going out to pitch my idea. You know, I took the risk on my own bank account. So, you know, maybe I don't have the original, you know, a lot of the same challenges that brand new entrepreneurs that are really, you know, maybe that's a tech company or it's a medical device and you need $10 million to even create the technology. I sort of learned all the hard knock lessons on my own wallet. So it felt like if I didn't get anybody's money, I was still going to keep growing. I just wasn't going to grow as fast.
That makes sense. That makes sense. And way to push forward. Obviously it paid off. And recently, I guess it hasn't been recently now. It's been like a month, but you just got back from New York Fashion Week.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Yes. So, I can't believe it's already been a month, but, we did a fashion show at New York Fashion Week with a nonprofit called Project Cancerland. And Project Cancerland's mission is to provoke an open and honest conversation revolving around breast cancer. And we had a beneficiary of Medivivor, and they provide 100% of their monies raised to research scientists to propel forward treatments and therapies for women diagnosed, or women and men diagnosed with breast cancer. And so we did a showcase. We put 30 patient models on the runway, which has just never been done before at New York Fashion Week. And these are 30 brave and incredible individuals that, you know, whose lives have been completely destroyed and put back together. About a third of our runway is diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, which means that that's a terminal form of breast cancer and there is no cure. And, you know, we really just try to show the world that this is what breast cancer looks like now. You know, this isn't our aging grandmothers who are knitting in the corner in their rocking chair. These are mothers, their daughters, their high school students, their college students. It's a changing world, and we hope to, you know, get that message out there that, you know, we have to be paying attention to our bodies and to our lives and to this disease, because it's killing people at the same rate it's been killing them for the last 40 years.
Yeah. Wow. And what's really cool about what you guys are doing is it's not just like, okay, let's go to New York Fashion Week to send a bunch of sales to our business and make a ton of money. You're pushing things forward. And I mean, getting a lot of attention and doing things where it's like not necessarily like, are you just you're not just focused on money, obviously.
No. I tell people don't start a business if you're just focused on money because you will lose.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, money is only so motivating. But for you, obviously, like, I mean, I hate to say I'm jealous, but like your just connection and your passion to what you're doing is just awesome. And it's something that you can't just, I don't know, whisk into existence. That's your life. That happened to you. And now it's almost like your mission every single day to go out and help people who have been in situations like you. And that's just awesome. That's just, I respect that a lot.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I mean, if there's nothing, you know, I want to put my energy into if it doesn't move the needle. And you know, not just as a business owner amongst the cancer community, but also as a personal advocate. And as, you know, somebody who's living with, you know, breast cancer. I mean, we all live with it for the rest of our lives, whether you're no evidence of disease or you know, have active disease in your body. And it's just, you know, things need to change. And we've been supporting a pink ribbon for too long, and we need to change the conversation. So it's exciting to sort of be in this provocative space of having to talk about women's breasts and women's sexuality and their bodies, but also, you know, moving the needle and changing the face of breast cancer at the same time.
Yeah. And you do a lot of work yourself. Do you have a team or?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so now I do. Now I do with the help of the seed round. But yeah, you know, starting a business is also tough because you've got to support your operations, right? And so it was really me for a long time, a few years, and I was just working nonstop every hour, every day, which has not changed actually. But you know, with a freelancer here or there. And so now I'm excited to say we've got 5 people on our team, and, it's really been incredible to, you know, have an awesome startup crew who believe in your mission. You know, working at a startup is fun, but it's also stressful, and you've got to, you know, have the right personality to be in that space, because everybody sort of has to have their own thinking cap on. You know, you're not stepping into a machine that's already built and all the gears are already greased, right? You're developing every system that you need to work through, and you need a strong team to be able to do that with you.
Totally. And I think a lot of people are in your position where like, or in your old position where it's basically just yourself. You're responsible for everything. And then I think some people kind of get caught up where they might have the money to free up their time and to hire somebody else to do something, but like they're kind of afraid. And kind of like you said, like all the systems and processes aren't necessarily built out for everything. So do you have any advice for sort of like trusting employees and sort of like hiring and anything to do with that?
My advice is to try to get as intimate, or, you know, not in a sexual sense, but like get intimate with this person, because they're going to be in your life for a lot of the hours of the day, and you've got to really know them and know that they're capable of doing the task that you need them to do, because money is tight, right? Like you might only have the option to hire one person, and that one person has to wear 3 different hats. And, you know, that's not typical of every employee that gets hired. So you've got to really know on some level that they're going to be capable of the tasks that are at hand, you know, because you rely on them 100%, because a ball drops, and that, you know, and then you're done. So it's a high stress, it's a really tough decision, and it's really stressful. But, you know, I think the best advice I've gotten, especially as of recent, as my team has been growing, is I listened to this amazing speaker, and she just, you know, the advice was, don't hire somebody that you can't fire. And I thought that was really interesting, because, you know, a lot of people go and hire their family or, you know, hire friends. And then all of a sudden you're stuck, because it's your, you know, you've just hired your brother to, you know, do your operations, but your brother's not a good operations guy. So it's, there was a lot of lessons to be learned in that process. And it is tough. It's tough building a whole new team from scratch.
Do you have any tips for finding out if someone's capable of doing the job you're bringing them on for?
You know, I don't know if I do have tips. I follow my heart and my gut a lot. And, you know, I think that if if somebody's capable of learning and paying attention and growing, that's probably the biggest strengths that you can rely on. I mean, obviously, if you need an accountant, you need an accountant, right? Like,
yeah.
I will never tell anybody I will be an accountant. That was just, I think I did my own QuickBooks balancing for about 3 months until I fired myself and started to farm it out. So, you know, I believe in, you know, bringing people in that have strengths that are your weaknesses and being able to admit that to yourself, because I could pretend all day long that I can balance a checkbook, but I'm not good at it. So, you know, I need somebody that can, and I need somebody that can stay organized. And it's really, you know, you got to have a coming to Jesus with yourself and be honest with where your strengths lie and where your weaknesses lie and fill the holes appropriately.
True. And how do you find these people? Do you post on job boards? Do you go through your network?
I go through network. I do a ton of networking. And I like networking too, because you do sort of get a pseudo reference without getting a reference, right? I think anybody that puts three references down on their resume are going to give you the three most amazing people. They're going to say the three most amazing things about you. But if you're amongst a network and, you know, you're especially in a metropolitan city of sorts, you know, you're going to know other people that know other people, and you can ask around in that way. Oh, well, you know, so-and-so used to be at this startup, but this was their problem. Or so-and-so is at this startup and, you know, they did a killer job and they're on to this startup, right? So you can start almost getting that background on somebody if you're out there networking yourself and you're making your own connections.
Totally. I like that a lot. So, as we kind of wrap up here, what's next for Anna Ono and how are you going to get there? So you've raised this money. What's next?
Well, you know, we're going to take over the world. that's usually what's next, but no, seriously, seriously though, breast cancer is not a problem based only here in the United States. So, I definitely have hopes for international growth, throughout the next few years. Immediately speaking though, we are launching new categories. We are launching, a bra that's the first bra ever made for women that have zero breasts, have no breasts at all. And you know, we believe that your breasts don't define you, the way you express yourself does. So, you know, some sexy intimate apparel, for those women, as well as some swimwear and, some athleisure. So we've had an opportunity now to expand and fill a lot of the holes in our customers' life and to give them good solutions that they're proud of. And, we just keep growing, you know, we just keep reaching more women. And that's about all I can say. You know, if I can change somebody's life or make it their day a little bit better, that's an accomplishment and that's success to me.
Yeah. I like how it's more than a sale. You're actually changing someone's life and improving their day. Like we talked about in the beginning. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It was great. You did a great tagline for me. So thank you.
You're welcome. Before we sign off, do you have any closing thoughts or words of advice to end on? I'm kind of putting you on the spot here, but
no, I mean, that's great. You know, I would love, for any of your listeners, if they don't even know somebody with breast cancer or they know somebody distantly with breast cancer, please tell them about Anna Ono. They can get all their information they need on annaono.com, which is A-N-A-O-N-O. And you really don't know whose day you'll improve by doing that, because it's not something that people openly talk about. It's not something they're going to express to you on a regular basis. But if you kind of, you know, share and give them the knowledge that like, hey, wow, like there's this company, it's founded by a survivor, like she knows what you're going through, you should check it out. That's really how, you know, we can help other people. So by spreading the news about Anna Ono being here is more than helpful to us.
And where can we go to learn more about you and your company?
So everything is available at annaono.com, which is A-N-A-O-N-O. And all of our social media is Anna Ono Intimates. So follow us, like our posts, share our posts. And again, you'll help us spread the word.
Sweet. And I'll link all that in the show notes below. Thanks so much for coming on the show, Dana.
No, thanks, Dylan. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode. I hope you got something valuable out of it. Subscribe to get notified when new episodes drop. And if you want to work with me, head over to wavebreak.co to learn more. Thanks again for listening. I'll see you next week.